Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transformed into the extraordinary through the discovery of the metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we try to unravel the mysteries of the universe and discover how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation to your life. So let's get started. Welcome to Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. Today is truly special as we welcome Stephanie Barton, a beacon of love and wisdom. Stephanie is a deeply cherished and sought-after psychic medium, clairvoyant, spiritual teacher and advisor, speaker and author. Oh, and an artist who recently came out of the closet. Stephanie is a registered nurse. She is certified in past life regression and hypnotherapy and is also a Karuna Reiki master and instructor, the highest level of achievement in Reiki. Stephanie is a precious spiritual mentor who blesses seekers on their metaphysical journey in a number of ways. She offers private individual and small group sessions, angel and Akashic record readings, personal consultations, healing sessions, and empowering classes and workshops. A variety of avenues through which she brings us light from the higher dimensions, connecting us with the other side, our angels, spirit guides, and departed loved ones. Stephanie has been featured nationwide on radio and television. She captivates audiences with her presentations, classes, workshops, lectures, and spiritually enriching books. She communicates messages with heartfelt passion, integrity, and sincere compassion, providing hope and comfort even in the darkest moments of her human experience. Stephanie is the author of several books. You Are Here, Facing Darkness, Finding Light, Life After Suicide, Meet Me on the Other Side, Miracles from the Afterlife, and her latest book, Rocking Around the Clock. Stephanie also does pet readings. She has created a variety of oracle decks, and she has recently added signature and personalized paintings. Seems like she's always finding new, fun, and amazing ways to connect us with the other side. You can check them all out on her website, angelsinsight.com. We'll include that information in the show notes. So let's welcome Steph. Steph, we are honored to have you here. You are truly loved.
Thank you so much. I feel honored and very blessed to be able to connect with both of you and the audience as well. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was beautiful. And dear audience, Marcella put that together. I can't even begin to tell you, and I think she will agree with me, that greeting, that bio, in no way, as wonderful as it was, really, really illustrates the deep, deep love we have for her and just the gratitude that she's in our space and she's blessed our life the way she has. We're going to begin our, you're welcome, honey. We're going to begin our podcast. And I get it. The mediumship is probably the juiciest part, but it's all about energy, right? And so I want to talk a little bit about rocking around the clock. And what I want the audience to know from my experience, this isn't an ordinary book about stones, because I'm a beloved who does not feel the energy in stones, or I did not feel the energy in stones until I read this book, y'all. She puts it in a way where, you know, look at the clock grid. And so she's telling us a certain time of day and how perhaps you may feel and what stone would effectively lift you up, right, during this period of time. And it was when I put together my own grid, and I used some of her stones, but I used my other stones that I wanted. Now, you're like, okay, you do have no idea how much this opened a door for me. And Marcella and Heather, our beloved Heather is in Hawaii, by the way. We feel her in spirit. They were just watching my enthusiasm as I'm telling them all about this book and how much it really clarified and cleared up, feeling the energy of the stones and what they bring to this human experience, right? And so I could go on and on, just like what Marcelo was saying. So Stephanie, what I want to know is your process as you're putting this together, because clearly as a child with Betty the Rock, this was just innate for you, right? And yet you're able to put it out there, lay it out there and describe it so that a novice like myself understands.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, I wanted to create something that would help individuals who are not necessarily attuned to or sensitive to the energy of stones. I wanted to offer them an entryway into that world, because working with crystals facilitates our intuition. It enhances our own mediumship qualities. And so in order to give you that power, or to help you become conscious of the power that's within you, I had to take a step back and look at us as energetic beings and crystals as energetic beings, and consider, how is it that our energy, as we go through our natural, normal rhythms and cycles of the day, how do we best match with the crystals as they go through their own natural rhythms and cycles throughout the day? So I kind of put myself in a matchmaker mode and created this book. And it's been really wonderful to see the feedback, which is what you've touched on a little bit, Mary, that people who before thought that rocks were pretty, but felt pretty flat energetically, are now starting to understand that, yes, these crystals have energy, they have essence, but essence that can help us connect to our greater spiritual beings. So I just love the effect that the book has had.
Yeah. I also liked, okay, so the theme for 2024 and part of 2023 for me was divine in form. Mm-hmm. And I loved how at the beginning of the book, it talked about our form, but it mm-hmm. talked about it in the format or the way a lot of us are not real familiar with our chakras. A lot of us are not real familiar with our auras. We work with them, but are we truly like in the emotional feeling of them? And I loved mm-hmm. how you introduced that in relationship to both the form and the divine, and how these stones are a gift to us energetically to help us with whatever it may be, grounding. It just mm-hmm. depends on the emotional need. Yeah, I could go on and on.
I think that's important for each of us as individuals, is to understand our own anatomy.
Yeah.
And we can work with crystals consciously, knowing which part of our anatomy, be it energetic anatomy, spiritual, emotional, whatever expression of our anatomy it may be. The crystals can help us amplify that, understand that, enhance that, kind of like a multivitamin for our soul.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example, dear listeners. Dolomite. Never heard of it. Didn't know what it was. My daughter and I brought this into the house. Dolomite works with digestive systems, pancreas, liver, gallbladder, and esophagus. It may be helpful in relieving ulcers, skin disruptions, and mouth issues. My daughter's been struggling with these sores on her throat. We ordered this. And Sarah, she feels the stones. So it's just a gem, this book is. It reminds me of supplementation. You know, mm-hmm. when we're looking for different supplements, this is mm-hmm. what this reminds me of.
Yes, yeah. I think for energetic supplements, that when we do have those occasional dips in our energy, or when we're feeling burned out or stretched a little too thin, then mm-hmm. pop in a crystal and it helps boost your energy back up, rebalance, but it also inspires and enhances the natural gifts and abilities that we all have, that sometimes we forget that we've got.
Right. or we're not even aware that we've got, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly,
well, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a totally unique approach. And I know there are so many books about crystals that are out there, but my desire was to offer something rhythmic, something that's very doable, something that's highly usable and impactful. And so this is what really inspired the book and why I believe that it can help anybody, even if you're balanced, will maximize what you got.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Well, thank you for writing that book. I was grateful that it came into my space. And very curious when I saw the title, Rocking Around the Clock. It's just perfect, y'all. So you can pick a copy up on her webpage or on Amazon. And with that, do you feel complete, Steph?
Sure.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to the juiciness of mediumship. And so, dear audience, Marcella and I have both had the privilege of experiencing Stephanie's readings, the gatherings of classes, and then the gatherings of when she's a medium. And so, what do you say? Right?
So many questions, right, to ask her, that it's hard to pick one, but start. So, Steph, I know sometimes words can be limited, right, when something is too abstract or unusual, but how would you best describe the way the information comes through? Like, do you see it, feel it, hear it, all of the above?
All of the above. Yeah, when I'm connecting with the spirit world, it's a full-on sensory experience, from visions to hearing music to hearing their voices. Basically, however it is a spirit needs to communicate to me, who they are, what they're like, what they believe in, how they passed, they'll access all of my senses so that I can communicate as effectively, as authentically, and as genuinely as I can. So I'm sort of like a voodoo doll for the spirits on the other side.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So if someone passed of a heart attack, I can feel that tightness in my chest. Or if they had a hard time seeing or had any kind of blindness or cataracts, my vision will get fuzzy. So I get to experience the world the way they did in some form or fashion as I'm connecting with them, because of that, we're all one, and that empathic part of me that's very open and receptive to those spirits. So that's largely how I communicate their presence and validate their identity.
Okay. Huh.
And another question. I've read that you have studied with Dolores Cannon and other famous metaphysicians, Steph. Was this at the beginning of your mediumship journey? Was it after you discovered your abilities and realized that this was your call and purpose?
It's been throughout. I did an angel training with Doreen Virtue before I ever started any kind of professional work, just to give myself the confidence of having a certification, some form of accreditation. And that was my initial metaphysical training. And then after that, just through the years, I've made continuing ed one of my most important priorities, because there's so much to learn, so many leaves to overturn and discover new thoughts, right, and new ideas and new ways that information can fit together. So I'm constantly seeking so that I can continue to share. That's so important to me, because knowledge is power.
Those are two different, completely two different women, right?
Mm-hmm.
What most did you resonate with Dolores? And what did you resonate with? I'm
Doreen.
Thank you, Doreen. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, two completely different people. With Dolores, I don't know if any of the audience ever had the privilege of meeting her when she was physically present, but she was like everyone's favorite grandma. Just so humble, so down to earth, so unassuming, but just the warmest and most genuine soul you could ever hope to meet. And what I resonated with her so much is that she was doing this out of compassion. She was doing her work out of love. She was serving because she knew that she came to serve. So everything she did really did come from her heart. And that's exactly where I am and where I always want to be and always strive, is just to be love, whether I'm doing a mediumship session, whether I'm sitting, writing a book, or even just praying quietly. I just am here to love. And Dolores had that same essence to her too. And at the same time, she was extremely down to earth and yet so far in the ethers with some of her philosophies and her open-mindedness. And that's also how I want to be. I never want to think something's impossible or limit myself because of a dogma. Sure, there are some things out there that don't resonate with me that aren't my personal truth. And yet I always want to be open and to strive and to seek so that I can share all the wisdom and all the love that I'm able to find and bring into my own heart. So I resonate with Dolores very much in that way. I just want to be heaven and earth all as one, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
And this has is tied to the other question I had for you, Steph, that you talk about going far into the ethers, right? Like Dolores did. So this has to be to do with like parallel universes and things like that. But the question is, if our loved ones, are they closer right after they pass, or do they move on and not as close as time goes by? Like has to do, I guess, with reincarnation or parallel universes.
That is a unique, it's a unique path for each spirit. What is the general tendency, however, is that it's a relationship. So in the initial stages, after someone departs the physical realm, they do stay very close. Their spirits are very close to us because we need them still. And that transition from being physical and being able to hug someone or kiss them or be close to them, we become comfortable with that. That's how we know them. So after that transition, they do stay very close just to help us. And we want them to stay close to be helped in that initial adjustment, getting through the shock of loss and some of those deep and anguishing pains of grief. But over time, we realize we are okay even without their physical presence. They're growing simultaneously. So what tends to happen is we're just as close. However, that need, that intense longing tends to soften a little bit. So we may not be as dependent on asking for and receiving signs, or we may not cling to that spirit as much, and they don't stay as close because it's a dynamic. As we heal, they can explore some of their own growth. As we're feeling more at peace, they can peacefully explore some of their own souls' needs and wants and desires on the other side. So it's a very powerful and very dynamic relationship. But as we heal, they are able to expand, and then they can send their consciousness into parallel universes, or if it's time to reincarnate, they can do that. And yet that part of them that we identify with as mom or father or friend is still there in the collective consciousness because it's within us. It's just we can breathe and be a little less intense in our need to hold on.
Okay. So I have a question about, and we've spoken briefly about this. Because you come from this purview of pure love. Okay, my mom passed of dementia. And what I want to know is, she didn't feel as available to me after she passed as, say, my father-in-law, right? And so I wondered if there was an acclimation period, or was I just too devastated and not in the in the flow, you know what I'm saying, where my energy was set that I could be receptive to a visit. Do you, you know, other book, I can't remember the dude's name. His first name was Elmer. Wrote a whole book on it. Of course, I had to devour it. His wife died of dementia. And he said it was like there was just like this earth suit purgatory, of course, in the physical. And then when she passed, there was a time of acclimation. How do you? Go for it.
Well, that is true. But I think what you brought up is extremely valid and accurate. When we've gone through an experience of a devastating chronic illness, or someone who's had dementia, or someone who had Alzheimer's, or mental illness, you know, something where it was chronic and emotional and charged and exhausting, we need an acclimation period after they've passed to replenish our energy, and so do they. So your mom needed to acclimate as you are acclimating too. So for both of you, there was a latency period where you were each replenishing and restoring what had been lost leading up to the actual physical death.
Okay, good to know. And it just doesn't have to be Alzheimer or dementia. Okay, got it. It could be somebody who just was in denial and didn't want to die.
Correct. And in situations like that, it's again, it's a relationship. You need your time to heal. So you may not have the energy to access their spirit. Well, they're also spending the time that they need to adjust, to heal, and to acclimate. So it's very much two sides of the same coin.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I can see that. Marcella?
Well, I just, like I said, have so many questions, but this is not related to that, but it's in general about our connection to spirit. You know, spiritual teachers who channel talk about talking to their guides or the spirit team, or even some of us during our practice, we have what we call like our team of light. It's like we don't really know who they are, but we kind of know they're higher beings in higher dimensions, trying to help us, supporting us. So do you have a specific team of light, so to speak, or guides that you consult with? Like, do they have their names and everything, or?
That's an excellent question. In the beginning, when I started, I needed them all to line up, introduce themselves, put on their name tags, and tell me exactly who they were and what aspect of mediumship they were helping me with. That was a very human kind of a thing for me. Especially because doing readings was quite a departure from being a nurse, and I felt like I was kind of stepping off into the deep end. So it was important to me to have those relatable terms or those conditions. And as time went by, at this point, I just bring on the light, Holy Spirit, just the love. I just want love present in whatever facet, form, shape, size it needs to take. Just let me be the presence of love. So as time has gone on, I'm not as concerned with who the players on the team are. I just know that I've got a team and a presence of light that's unfailing, ever present, and that's where I put my focus. But it is fun, I think, in the beginning, especially as you're getting to know the spirit world, to have names and understand why you have certain guides, if you have needs to be able to ask for experts and unique spiritual beings to help out. Absolutely, that's part of the fun of learning and becoming comfortable with working with the other side.
That makes sense.
And I've learned too that my guides don't really care what I call them. They're not attached to the names the way I am. So if I just want to say, hey, they're cool with that. they know that there's no disrespect, or the name is strictly for my benefit, not for theirs. It doesn't change them. It just gives me something to do in order to feel confident about who I'm accessing or what I'm accessing.
Okay.
They're much more easygoing than we tend to be in the human world.
Right.
They are.
Thankfully. Because we can get ourselves pretty worked up about seemingly insignificant details, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yes. And sometimes I have people ask me, well, which archangel should I call for healing? Well, any of them can be there to help with that. Raphael is the archangel that most commonly is considered the healer among the archangels. But if you call Archangel Michael, he can be just as effective, and it's not going to hurt Raphael's feelings or diminish your ability to heal. So relax. You can't do this stuff wrong.
Right.
Yep. And the archangels don't have territories like salespeople or something. They're all pretty good about making sure that love is here in this dimension. So I just want everyone to relax and enjoy and learn, but don't learn in such a way that you become rigid or black and white. No, no, no. Light is light. And love is love. So just immerse yourself in that and have some fun.
Yeah. So, Steph, because I remember this was the earlier days, and in the most gentlest, nicest of ways, Stephanie was showing me other past lives and how rigid I was, and how my rigidity is not something I wanted to carry in this lifetime. And it was very gently and effectively done. What, on a personal note, do you, are you aware of that maybe you, do you ever find yourself blocking the flow, or do you know instantly, oh, I'm not going there?
Well, that depends. Yeah, it's not a black and white.
Uh-huh.
It's not a black and white process, because when there are days, if I've worked too much, or if I've had challenges sleeping, or if I'm carrying a lot of weight from a session that really impacted me, then that can tend to block the flow. Mm-hmm. It's when I get in my own way. However, when I'm trusting the process and really aware that spirit is handling the details, that it's okay for me to sometimes say yes and sometimes say no, then the flow is very strong and powerful, as it is for all of us. I'm no different from anyone else in that regard. We can be our own best friends or our own worst enemy. It's really just the course that we take and the choices that we make that put us in the flow. We're going to move this out sometimes. Yeah.
That's cool.
And speaking of,
I was going to say, I've had many readings with you, Steph, and there have always been like amazing, loving, powerful messages. A few times, very few that I remember hearing something I didn't want to hear. It always turned out good, right? But at that moment, it wasn't what I really wanted to hear. So does it ever happen that something comes to you that you find it difficult to say to the other person because it's either bad news or may create some fear or surprise?
Well, yes, I could. Here's what my process is, and here's how I can answer that. When I'm sitting with someone, there's a lot going on for me because I'm tuned into their energy. And I feel what they feel, and I can get a pretty clear understanding of what they expect or maybe what they want. Simultaneously, I'm also very cognizant and sensitive to the energy of whichever spirits they're wanting to connect with, guides, angels. So I feel and understand their perspective, their wants for the person. So there's many simultaneous conversations going on that I'm holding all in one space. So there are oftentimes guidances or pieces of information or thoughts that will come from the other side that I am highly aware are in contrast with what the person wants or thinks they want or believes that they need, but maybe they don't need. That's where then I have to be very clear in my intentions and very mindful with my communication so that I can offer up a unique perspective or share something that may at first not resonate with the person, but present it in a loving way such that they can be open to a new possibility, an option that they've not considered, or at least invite them to trust that there could be another way to attain the same feeling, but maybe just by taking a different approach.
And I must say, you are so good at presenting it in a loving way. I have seen that
right.
Again. Well,
I'm glad that you say that, because there are sometimes, you know, I've had many people where I can see, you know, the traces of disease in their energy field because of choices they're making or propensities or lifestyle or environmental exposure. I never want to scare anyone because there need be no fear. We have choice. So even when I see things like that, I present that information in an empowering way, in a choice-based way, in a loving way, because at any moment we can change our destiny.
Yeah.
Simply by choosing love over fear or focusing on light rather than uncertainty. And that's always how I want to communicate. That's just why I'm here.
Yeah.
And so many times I see clients who've been to other supposed mediums or psychics and they've presented information. You've got a curse on you, or you
yeah.
need to do this because your loved one's in a dark place, or, and that breaks my heart because people believe that, and it, mm-hmm. it exposes that fear and vulnerability within them. So then I have to go in and do a little damage control. But if ever anyone who's listening goes to an intuitive and they tell them something that's based on fear or negativity or anything that doesn't come from light, don't attach to it, don't accept it, don't take it in. Just observe, take note, but slowly back away and call me.
Because it's all about love on the other side.
It is all about love. It is. And if their spirit is not completely in that space of unconditional love, it's about choosing and choosing and choosing and choosing until we do get to that place of love. No different than it is here on this side.
Okay. That makes sense. I remember I was at a women's conference and they had a medium there. And she connected with my dad. And I, you know, I prepared. I had, you know, you and I had been connected. And so I somewhat knew what to expect. But I didn't expect this, because in the morning I told my father, I want you to come through. And mm-hmm. this is kind of where I'm going with this or whatever. And she's up on the stage and she's looking down, and then she looks up and she's just staring at me. And she says to me, "You know, he doesn't want to come through, don't you?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know." My whole attitude was, he never wanted to come through. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be dragged it. And so I'm looking at her going, and this was like 2005, I think, and he died in 92. I didn't think I was out of line by asking for a visit, but, you know, after a certain amount of time. And then
yeah.
she pursued on by describing him. I never thought about this. Daddy was a smoker, so he overdid it with that Old Spice, which made mm-hmm. some people cry. But growing up with it, it didn't bother me. And her eyes were watering. And I'm just like, wow. And then I remembered, oh yeah, sometimes he could put too much of it on.
Mm-hmm.
But her whole demeanor, as I remember to this day, is, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And she's right. I didn't necessarily get what I needed out of it personally, but he sure came through for my brother, which that was a cool thing. So what do you do about when you've got a client who demands that they come through, but the beloved on the other side doesn't want to?
Well, I smooth talk.
Okay.
I've got spirit smooth talk. Come on, love. Come on.
Oh, that is so funny.
Want to burn a little extra karma? Come on through. But I have found that as long as the desire is pure and the intentions are sincere, I've had very little issue with spirits coming through when their loved ones want them to communicate. Very little issue at all. And I'm glad for that. I appreciate that tremendously.
Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where, you know, we have some beloveds that are attached to religions who say, when you die, you're dead. That's it. There is no afterlife.
They're the first ones to come through.
Pardon me? They are? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Really? So yes. They don't sleep through it.
Oh, gosh.
No. Okay.
Because what I have found is that most of the individuals who will ascribe to that belief have been either hurt or wounded or burned in some way by traditional religion. Well, the other side isn't about religion, and it's not about fear. It's about spirit and love. And so once they experience that, all this other limitation, they just let that go. And truly, they're 90% of the time the first ones who will come through.
Wow.
Because they're free and they don't have the hurt, the fear, the pain, or the limit anymore. So they just love spirit and the ability that they can be heard and that they can communicate and they can bring peace. Oh, yes. They're some of the most joyful spirits to connect with.
Okay. Now you're in a lobby. Now you're having one of your gatherings and now you're inundated, right? Do you ever discern, oh, I'm not going to go down that circus. I'll choose over here. Or does the loudest person get the loudest past beloved get heard? How do you discern who you're going to talk about?
Well, I don't have a specific process. I just, once I step into that space of I'm going to relay messages, I really just allow and trust whoever it is that needs to be heard will be heard. Whoever needs to be seen is seen. It's very much up to spirit. Once I surrender, I'll just surrender all and ask spirit, let my words be your words, let my light be your light, let my truth be your truth. And then whoever it is that speaks from that moment forward, I trust that was the person who needed to speak first. That was the spirit who needed to speak second. I really just trust that process from that point on.
That's really cool. Did you have to, with due diligence, practice to get to that point? Because apparently you have the, you know what I mean, where the beloveds on the other side can seek you out. You know what I mean, where I'm going with this with Hollywood stuff. Were you ever fearful of that?
Well, at first I wanted it to be where it wouldn't overwhelm me, or I wouldn't, you know, do an event and then have 25 spirits following me home because they think I'm still going to give messages.
Right.
Beginning, how I started training myself, but also training loved ones on the other side, or getting that trust and that communication established. I would imagine like an open for business. You know how businesses used to have those signs, like, come on in, we're open. And then you flip it over. Sorry, we're closed. That's how I got to know the spirit world initially for the large group gatherings. Is about 30 minutes before start time, I would flip the sign in my aura, or imagine flipping the sign that said, oh, you know, come on in, we're open. And then they would all start, then I would start getting names and I'd write them down and details and things like that. And then once I was done, before I would leave wherever space I am doing the session, I would flip the sign. Sorry, we're closed. And it worked. It worked really effectively for me. It wasn't dragging spirits home with me. And they were all very respectful of the boundary. So that was my process in the beginning. And now, because I've been doing this for 20 years, they know me, I know them. So I'm not as rigorous with that particular practice because there's a trust there now.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So Stephanie, you know, for some mediumship, for those of us who have experienced it, there's not the shadow of a doubt, right? But mediumship can be controversial for those who haven't, right? So what would you say to the skeptics, the naysayers?
You have to do what works for you. So if mediumship doesn't work for you, if it doesn't fit with your particular spiritual philosophy or your beliefs, then please honor that, be true to yourself, and don't join a gallery session or don't call for a reading. And that's fine. I think that we all have to be true to ourselves first. If you're open, or if you are in a place of grief and you're just not finding the healing you need, perhaps it is time to be open, or maybe that unresolved wound is your soul's way of asking for something new, for being open to something more. And then maybe that prompts you to call or to reach out or to consider that there is afterlife communication. But I'm certainly not here to try to convince any hardcore skeptic or to move mountains or to wow people. I'm just here to be sincere and to be that voice for love. And if it convinces someone, wonderful. And if someone still wants to remain steadfast in their belief that it's not possible, I'm very comfortable with that too. I just want each person that I cross paths with to feel happy, to feel blessed, to feel loved and seen and heard, however that needs to happen, via a spirit or through me or in seeing a sunset. I support that. I just want each person to feel loved.
Yeah.
I'll just do my job and do it wholeheartedly. And if it changes someone's mind, great. And if it doesn't, that's okay. I just hope they feel loved.
Right.
Did that answer that, Marcella?
Yes, yes. And you are that voice of love. It's just amazing how you, in so many different ways, you know, you are the beacon of light that I talked about in the beginning. Thank you.
Well, I think it's so fun with group readings because there's always, for whatever reason, the spirits now know me quite well because I've been doing this for so long. But it's so fun because there's, I can tell you in any spirit gathering, there are so many spirits who want to connect. There's one me and so many of them. It's never a question of, is anyone going to come through? It's just, how many spirits can I allow to come through to keep up in my own energy level high and clear? But it's just awesome how many spirits are always around us and how many people we've touched.
And what about pets?
And pets too, yes. Yes.
They are
yes.
Probably more impatient than humans, are they?
They are. They are.
Really?
Huh. They are. Because their love is so pure and strong. And because they don't have a concept of manners or time.
Right. Okay, so I was at a workshop that Stephanie was leading, and we had to break off in pairs. It was mediumship. And I wish I could remember the beloved who I was partnered with, but she was very quiet because she didn't want to insult me. And finally she was just like, I'm sorry, but there is this bothersome, aggressive pig, potbelly pig. And I'm like, Olivia, that was my potbelly pig. And she was like, oh, you had one before. And I just started laughing, and I was so touched that she was showing up. And now my beloved partner here, she was a little taken back. Like, you had a pig? You live in the city and you had a pig? Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And Olivia was going to be seen and heard, by golly. And that's fun too. That. Animals communicate in a slightly different way than human spirits do. So it requires a little bit of adjustment on my part when I am relaying messages from pets. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, it's so worth it. I love that.
Yeah, because that's a different connection altogether from humanity. It's just,
well, that's my favorite part of the gatherings because of the things they say. I don't know if you've been, Mary, when Steph had, Tobby or whatever, right? And then they come up with the most unique ways to let their owners know, hey, it's me, right?
Yes. Yes, they value different things than we do. They have different goals and priorities than we do. But boy, they're clear when they can express those things. And I love that. Yeah, I've had, I can't tell you, I've connected with hamsters, gerbils, snakes, birds, you name it. If it's been kept as a pet, I've probably talked to it at some point.
Wow.
Yeah. Frogs. Oh, it's just fun.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah. I had a lady who had swam with dolphins, and she actually got some messages from some of the dolphins that she had been swimming with during the session a couple years back. And that was incredible. It was really neat. The horses, horses are amazing creatures. And when they communicate, it just inspires me with some of their wisdom and depth and how they're able to really share their love and their understanding of life in ways that humans often overlook and can't see. So I love connecting with horses as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling pretty complete. How are you feeling, Marcella?
I am. Is there something else you would like to?
Yeah, you want to share with anything with us before we close, Steph?
Well, I just want to say that for each of you, this podcast and the work that you're doing as individuals, as a collective, to be able to talk about these things and to share these things, to make spirit normal, is one of the greatest things that you can do. So I'm so grateful that you guys are following this call to do the podcast and to work together and to inspire and grow. That's the best thing you can do.
Well, thank you.
It has been so far. This has been quite a journey. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I think what you said, Marcella, in the introduction about being fun, oftentimes I think we have these archaic ideas that this has to be serious and no pain, no gain. You know, you have to be very reverent and somber. There is appropriate times to be somber and to be quiet. But I think what we sometimes are too quick to forget is that spirit is about joy and laughter and expanding in ways that feel good, not painful. Yes, there are moments of discomfort and uncertainty, and we all face those. But when we have that joy of spirit, that gives us strength. And when we can remember that we're light, we can look past the darkness. So always returning to that feeling of joy and peace, I think, is ultimately one of the greatest gifts that we can receive from our spiritual practice. So I say joy to the world.
Yes. Right.
So to wrap this up, I must say that over the years, I've had the blessing of participating in Stephanie's workshops and classes, having her as my spiritual advisor. I've witnessed that our loved ones, angels, and spirit guides remain steadfast at our side. And the biggest and most significant lesson I've learned from Stephanie is that love is the constant presence, the infallible essence that will always see us through. Thank you, Stephanie. Please let us know those who still haven't had the blessing of any of your the things you offer. Where can they find you? How can they reach out?
Yes, my information's on the website. Email me anytime. You can call. I'm always just a phone call, text, email, message, post, Instagram, social media, click away.
And it's so www.angelsinsight.com.
That's it. Yes. And I am here to serve. I'm here to smile, to share. I do want anyone who feels called to reach out, because I would be delighted to help in any way that I can, most truly.
Yeah. And I can just tell you, y'all, she'll change your life. Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you for all you do. Thank you for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. Yeah, so much.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.